Leviticus chapter 19. Take your Bibles, go to Leviticus chapter 19. Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19. We're reading several different scriptures this morning. All of them we will read responsively. I'll read the first, you'll join me on the second. Leviticus chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1. We'll read all the way through verse number 3. Start at verse 4. Leviticus 19, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." Now turn over to chapter 20 of Leviticus. We'll read two verses here. I'll read the first. You'll join me on the second. Leviticus chapter 20, we'll read the last two verses, verse 26 and verse 27. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 26. "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have served you from other people, that ye should be mine. Also, or woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." Now, all the way at the end of your Bible, towards the book of Revelation, 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Go to the book of Revelation, work your way back, you'll run right into it. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verse 15 and verse 16 the same way. I'll read the first verse. You'll join me on verse 16. 1 Peter chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a place like Grace Baptist Church, Lord, a place we can come, Lord, a place where there's people of like faith, where we get to hear a music, Lord, that exalts and glorifies you. Lord, for the truths that we learned already in Sunday school this morning. Lord, now we come to the most important part of the service, Lord, the preaching of your word. Holy Spirit, Lord, there's many here this morning that have heavy hearts, that aren't feeling well, or that have problems at home that none may know about, but Lord, you do. Take the truth that you have prepared for us this morning, Lord. May we draw closer to you and become more like you because of the truth that is preached this morning. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Today I'm preaching on the word holiness. The word holy, or the word holiness, is a very misunderstood word. For some, the word holy means things that have been prayed over and set apart. Sanctified is the word I would use. It's not dressing somebody up and being all spooky, weird, ooh stuff. Can I tell you something? God is holy. We read in Leviticus 19, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." We read in Leviticus chapter 20. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1. God said, "I am holy." And let me say something about being holy and holiness that will be a little different. The word holiness doesn't mean sinless. Say, "Well, how do you know that, preacher?" God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God will not command you to do something that you cannot do, and you cannot be sinless because you are a sinner.
You're right. You're right.
Therefore, holiness is not sinlessness. Religion will tell you holiness means you have to quit sinning, you have to turn from your sins, and if you don't, you're unholy. Holiness has nothing to do with that. A byproduct of holiness means you'll be less like the world, but it is a byproduct. That's not how you get it. Now, listen to me very carefully. Man cannot have perfect holiness because man is a sinner. May I also say this? Holiness is what God is. He is the source of all holiness. Now, let me show you what I mean. Man cannot live perfect holiness because man is not perfect due to sin. But we can be holy. God said we could. He said, I am holy, and I want you to be holy as well. Now, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been born again. Something happened when you got saved. Not only did God wash your sins away, not only did he pardon you, not only did he justify you, but watch this. Your spirit was reborn.
Yes, sir. Right.
And it was rebirthed, and you were given the eternal genetics of God. That's what regeneration means. It means to be regeneticized. God gave you the eternal genetics of God, and the Holy Spirit of God moved into your life.
Hallelujah.
Brother Don, Miss Debbie, I remember winning both of you to the Lord. Remember the day they got saved. I won't belabor the story, but those are two different people than walked into our church the first time. You say, what happened? Did they change? No, somebody changed them. They got saved and the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to argue with anybody, but we sometimes say, well, you need to get saved. And Jesus moves into your heart. Jesus doesn't move into your heart. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit moves in.
Amen.
Now watch this. Did you hear what I just said? The Holy Spirit. So man has the ability to be holy when he is saved because the Holy Spirit moves in. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price.
That's right.
Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's.
Amen.
Say, why is it God's? Because you got saved and the Holy Spirit moved in. I must digress for a moment to teach you something. The depth of what I will teach you is unbelievable, and I do not have time to teach it like I want. But let me help you. Jesus started the church, not the temple. The temple was started, watch this, as the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And all of the temple and the tabernacle did was point to the coming Savior. Brother Josh, would you stand up for a moment? Oh, is this a stretch? He's going to represent Jesus. Enjoy it. It's the only time. Trust me. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle or the temple, either one, they were one and the same. The tabernacle was the temporary dwelling, the temple was the permanent dwelling. Now watch this. All of these things here, the sacrifices, the holy days, all of the Levitical priesthood and all those things, those were pointing to the coming Savior. He had not yet come and died at Calvary. So things were a bit more graphic. Every sacrifice, every blood upon the altar of the lamb or the dove or whatever bull or whatever sacrifice, those didn't wash away sins. They were pictures of what Jesus was going to do.
Amen.
Now watch this. Step down this way just a little bit, Jesus, please. Thank you. Watch this. When Jesus was here on earth, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the priests got upset with him. Can I tell you why? He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. They said, you're guilty of blasphemy. He said, oh, no, I'm not. Try it. Watch this. Jesus started the church,
right,
not the temple.
Amen.
That's why we have church on the first day of the week. We don't worship on the Sabbath.
Right.
watch this. Jesus died at Calvary. Stay standing. But the church was here. The church was to keep going. Now watch this. The temple was destroyed. And in 3 days and 3 nights later, up from the grave, he arose. Say, how was the temple raised in 3 days? What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Jesus lived a sinless life here on earth. He was God in the flesh, but he also lived that way because of the Holy Spirit who controlled him, who is the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God, according to the book of Romans, that raised him from the dead. Now watch this. That means this. Your body is the temple of God. Now, you can have a seat, Jesus, please. Let me show you something about the temple and the tabernacle. That means this. Today, our body is the temple. I'm not against a church saying we're First Baptist Temple. But it's not scriptural. It should be First Baptist Church. It's not Grace Baptist Temple. It's Grace Baptist Church. Temple was done away with at Calvary. Jesus conquered it. And we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. But watch this. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple as well, they had an outer courtyard. In that courtyard, that's where all the congregation would come. They would bring their sacrifices. They would bring their offerings. That was done out here in the outside area of the tabernacle. But there was a structure there. And it had two divisions. That first division, all of the Levites could go into. It was called the holy place. That had the table of showbread with 12 loaves of bread, one for each tribe of the Israel. Had the golden candlestick. Had the veil here and in front of it, the altar of incense upon which incense was burned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It was a representation of the prayers of the people of God going up continually before God. Now watch this. The common man couldn't come through the courtyard and go into the holy place. Only the Levites could. But there was another place. It was a square room, had one piece of furniture in it, and it was called the Holy of Holies. In that Holy of Holies was a table about a little bit bigger than our Lord's Supper table. It was kind of like a chest, and on top of it, it had a seat. It was called the mercy seat. One time a year, one man, the high priest, was allowed to take a sacrifice done a certain way after the Day of Atonement. He was to take that bull with the blood from that sacrifice, a hyssop weed. He was to walk through the congregation. He was to come to the holy place. He was to walk through there. He was to go under the veil and kneel before that Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And he was to take the hyssop weed, dip it in the blood, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And one time a year, the Shekinah glory of God would come down, rest on that seat. And God's presence itself would be there for another year upon the nation of Israel. That one time he would come back out and he would stand before the people and say, "It is finished." May I say something? According to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, Jesus is our great high priest. He came as our lamb at Calvary, but he resurrected as our high priest. And he went before God himself in heaven, and he went to the Holy of Holies that is in heaven. Talks about the true tabernacle that is in heaven. And I believe it's the throne room of God. And Jesus took his own blood and put it on the mercy seat in the presence of God in heaven for our sin. Now watch this. How do you know that? Because when Mary saw him on the road outside the cemetery, she said, "They've taken my Lord. They don't know where he's at." And she recognized him and she went to touch him. He said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father." See, if the high priest did the sacrifice and he got touched by any human between here and putting the blood on the mercy seat, God would kill him. They'd have to start all over again. Jesus said, Mary, don't touch me. You go tell the disciples, I'm going to heaven and put my blood on the mercy seat. I'll be back. He was our high priest. Now watch this. Just as that Old Testament tabernacle or temple, watch this, your body is the temple. The outside courtyard is for everybody. That's your personality. That's being cordial with people. But young people, old people, middle-aged people, single people, married people, listen to me. There is only a certain amount of people that are supposed to get close to you. I can walk up and put my arm around my son. I love my son. There's a closeness that he and I have. That's the holy place. But there's only one reserved for the Holy of Holies, and that's his wife. May I say something? Be careful. Some of you are corrupting the temple. You're letting people into the Holy and Holy of Holies that should not be there. We are to keep the temple pure. We are to keep our bodies pure. We're to keep the temple free from things of external use. Now listen to me. When the Jews began to defile the temple, God's presence left. When God's presence left, the holiness left. You see, people defiled the temple, started getting farther away from the Lord. Watch this. They didn't do it because of unholiness. The unholiness came because they left the presence of the Lord. They got away from the holiness because God is holy and he is the source of all holiness. Holiness is not religious piety. Holiness is not robes and the regalia of priests and popes. Holiness is not quiet, spooky, worshipful organ music. Ooh, amen. That is not holy. It's not even good. Holiness is not special days and rituals filled with candles and flags and special colors. Holiness is not water or juice or incense that is sprinkled upon, released upon, or spit upon the people. Holiness is not redundant chanting with prose written centuries ago. Holiness is not living sinlessly because we're all sinners. And may I say this, holiness is not stained glass and paintings. What is holiness then? How can we live holy if we're sinners? We have to be able to, or God's a liar because he said, be ye holy. There is a way we can live holy, but we must do it God's way. Let me give you just a few thoughts today. Oh, I have so many things I want to say, but I will expedite it. Number one, what is holiness for man? Holiness and wisdom are very closely related. Holiness and wisdom are very closely related. Wisdom is thinking or seeing life as God sees it. Holiness is obeying with actions what God says to do. Let me show you what I mean. Wisdom is being able to use the word of God and say, here's a situation. God says I should do this. And you're able to reason it with biblical principle. Holiness is doing it God's way. It is the action of obedience to the word of God, at the right time, at the right place, with the right people. Done the right way. Not done your way, done God's way. Well, as I see it, you just lost your holiness and you just lost wisdom. Well, I don't quite see it that way. Don't care how you see it. I care how God wrote it. Doesn't matter how you see it. You might need glasses. I'm colorblind. Many of you know that. Colorblind people, I'm so colorblind I can't follow a blood trail. Now, when you're a hunter and you can't follow a blood trail, something serious here. But I've killed hundreds and hundreds of deer. I got to shoot a big, huge-bodied six-point last week. Now, I didn't have to track it. It fell right down. I tracked it about 24 inches straight down. They don't always do that, though. My son, I'll say, Dad, I'll say, where's the blood? You're stepping in it. Where? I cannot see blood. If it were that or put a gun to my head, pull the trigger because it's over. I cannot see it. But my wife and my other son bought me a light last year that for colorblind people that highlights blood. Man, it is the slickest little thing, let me tell you. I didn't get to use it yet this year because I haven't had to track any. But may I say this, you might have vision problems like I do and not be able to see what's really there. Everybody doing okay? So wisdom is thinking or seeing as God does in accordance with the word of God. Holiness is acting upon or the action of doing what God said and how he said to do it. In other words, wisdom is more of a mental action, whereas holiness is an outward action or outward obedience of living the way God wants us to live according to his word. Did you know God gave man the word of God? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God gave you the Holy Bible. These are the holy words of God. It's the only book God ever wrote to man. Now, listen to me very carefully. Oh, so many verses. We read in Leviticus chapter 19, be ye holy, for I am holy. Leviticus chapter 20, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, look at chapter 20 again. Leviticus 20, verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Watch this. A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. In other words, witchcraft is of the devil, and he doesn't want you messing with it.
You're right.
That means your video game shouldn't include wizardry. Your cartoon shouldn't be filled with wizards and witchcraft. Everybody doing okay? I didn't say it, God did. If you want to be holy, don't mess with witchcraft. I didn't say it, God did. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I'm just the delivery boy. So God says that we are not to mess around with that because you're dealing in the dark spiritual world, which will destroy holiness. Say why? Because it's influenced by the devil, not by God. God is light, the devil is darkness. They can't commune one with the other. Let me read a verse to you all the way back in the book of Titus. You need not turn there because most of you couldn't get there before I do. Maybe. Titus chapter 2, you can just write it down and I'll get to it here. Titus chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, that the aged women likewise, that they be behavior as it becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. In other words, we're supposed to teach the next generation how to be holy. How do we do that? By doing things right. Romans chapter 1, verse number 4 talks about us living a holy life, holiness that pleases the Lord. You don't teach somebody to be sinless. Say why? You can't be. You're a sinner. You see, the resurrection was proof. Let me read Romans chapter 1, verse number 4 to you. Romans chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says this. My pages are sticking together here. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Do you know how Jesus proved his holiness? He resurrected from the dead. He didn't just know he was. He didn't just say he was. His action of resurrecting from the dead, Brother Mike,
proved his holiness. It wasn't just that it was predicted. It was the doing of it that showed Jesus' holiness. Everybody doing okay? So it was an action that was required. I must hurry. Number two, holiness for man is living with God's presence. Holiness for man is living in or with God's presence. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, it's in reference to the life of Moses here. Exodus chapter 40, verse number 33. I'm going to read about six verses to you really quickly here. Exodus 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire upon it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. In other words, when they were close to God's presence, they stayed there. Holiness comes because of a close relationship with God. I love my wife. We've been married for 30 and a half years. That's a long time. I married her when she was two. I do good on that way. I get lunch today now. Can I tell you something? I love my wife, but if I didn't spend any time with her, if I didn't talk to her, nobody would know that I loved her, including her. Let me ask you a question. How much time have you spent with God? And you wonder why you struggle with holiness. Everybody doing okay? You say, well, God requires action. Yeah, that means you need to read the Bible and you need to talk to God in prayer. It means you ought to be at God's house learning about him so you can know better how to associate with him and do what he said to do. That's what church is all about. In other words, church is not a holy place. It is a place you learn about God, and as you draw close to God, you become holy. Everybody doing all right? All right, let me show you what I mean. Many of you might know where I live. You ladies will be at my house next week. You'll find out where I live. You'll come into my home. But I'm not handing keys out to everybody. You say, why? And not your house. Love you, but not that much. Now, wait a minute. He's got a key. Say, why? That's family. It's a little different. There's a closeness there. Are you doing okay? Now, he doesn't have the garage door opener because he ain't getting my car. Wait a minute. There's an action required. Did you know, according to Exodus chapter 27, verse number 30, and Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 14, God says that tithing is holy? I didn't say it. God did. Exodus 27, verse 30, and Ezekiel 48, 14 talks about the first fruits and tithing, and he says, it is holy unto the Lord. You can say what you want. I'm not a money-grabbing preacher. I don't look at anything. I have no idea who does, who doesn't, but I'll promise you this. Those who tithe are more holy than those who do not. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because God said it, I didn't. Because that is an action of holiness. It is you giving back to God what is his to do God's work. I'm not mad at you. I'm not looking at any records to find out. I'm just telling you what God said. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, the Bible says that the word of God is holy. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Verse number 15. Boy, there's so many verses I want to give you, but that's not the... Well, it would... I don't think that's the right verse. Maybe it's 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Proves I'm not perfect, amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Verse 15. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shame, profane, and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And if, as you go on, it talks about in verse 16 of chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I tell you something? The word of God is holy. Say, how do you know that? Because Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know that when He comes back and He fights at Armageddon, His name will be written on His thigh and on His vesture, the Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And because He is God, He is holy. And these are His words, therefore they are holy. May I say something? When's the last time you read holy words? We're nearing the end of the calendar year. Some of you are maybe trying to read through your Bible in a year, and I'm happy for that. I'd be just satisfied if you read it every day for a year. Someday I think you ought to read through the Bible in a year. Yes, but as long as you read it every day, that's better than reading through it and not getting anything. I just passed reading through my Bible for the third time this year. I'm working on number 4. I give my life to reading and studying the Word of God. But may I say this, our strict obedience to the Bible determines our holiness, not our attitude. Let me say that again. Our obedience to the Bible determines our holiness, not our attitude. I am sick up to here with preachers. Well, if you don't come to church with the right attitude, don't come at all. Well, they got a hole big enough in their head to drive a Mack truck through. I don't care why you came. God said, just obey. When he was a boy and I said, Josh, take the trash out, I didn't particularly care if he had a good attitude or a bad attitude as long as he got the trash out when I said, get the trash out.
That's good.
He could grumble about it, and he did. He could complain about it, and he did. He could try to get his brother to do it, and he did. But as long as it got out, that was the issue, not whether... I'm going to have the right attitude before I do this. Oh, we could give him an adjustment real quick. We could adjust the attitude. The attitude wasn't the issue. The obedience was the issue. And in holiness, it is the obedience that's the issue, not the attitude. Holiness is not a presence. It's not a place. Just because you came to church doesn't make you holy. Just like if you park your car in the garage, it doesn't make you a car. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's not the building. This building is not holy. It's made out of the same trees your house is made out of. Well, not the exact same one, but the same kind. Thought I better say that. Holiness is an action, not an attitude. Did you know there are times I do things and I got a bad attitude with God over it, but I still do it? Everybody doing all right? Wait till you get the news you got to go tell somebody that their loved one died. Wait till you get the news that somebody fell over dead and you've got to help them. I do a little grumbling. I don't know about you, but I look at God and say, God, that's not fair.
I don't know why that happened, other than they're a sinner, and boy, I can't tell the family that. I don't get it when the news comes and it's cancer, or it's a heart attack, or it's this, or it's that. I don't always understand it, and I can't tell you, I always have a good attitude about it. But I do what I'm supposed to do. God takes care of the attitude later. Holiness is an obedience to God's word, not a quiet whispering as we exercise religious ritual. Holiness is not a, don't talk in church, it's holy. Don't laugh in church, it's holy. Sorry, God talks about laughing. Probably laughing at the people who won't laugh in church. If you saw what we saw, you'd laugh too. You okay down there, Ashley? Finally got her laughing. She got to look at Joe. No wonder she was sick. So holiness isn't a place. Holiness is not a ritual. The Lord is in his holy temple. I will bow before him. Oh, amen. It's not walking around in some bathrobe going, Miss Kim, sorry. Reminds me of the old black church down south. And I preach in South Carolina a lot. I've been in a lot of black churches. And one black preacher, buddy, he decided he's going to get some of them incense pots. And he filled them incense pots up. He got them good and hot. He told his deacons, you come down the aisle when I give you the sign. Going, got them incense pots. The preacher's up there and he's preaching away. And he gave them the sign and here they come. Well, they're holding them incense pots on the bottom. Do you know what's on just above their hands? Hot coals. They got about a third of the way down and both of those fellas carrying them incense pots. Window was open and went, and the preacher said, where's them incense pots? And the deacon said, threw them out the windows when the bottoms got hot. Folks, can I tell you something? The incense pots weren't holy. Them hands were getting holy pretty quick. So I don't think you ought to say things like that, preacher. Well, it's not holy. But church is supposed to be holy. No, we're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be close to God. And it's not a sinlessness. Number three, I've got to hurry here. Oh, my soul. Holiness is not sought for. It is a product or a byproduct of being close to God. We are not to seek being holy. We are to seek being close to God. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. We don't have time to go there, but 1 Corinthians 3:17, Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, 2 Timothy 3:15, it talks about that we are to present ourselves holy to God. In other words, we are to spend time with God. I remember the first time I met my wife. It was an experience. I was getting a sack lunch for work. We called it the gag bag line. If you ever had to eat one of those, you would understand. It was not the most pleasant thing in the world, but it gave us enough food to make it through work, kind of. I was in a hurry. I just got out of church. I had just ate lunch, running downstairs, south hallway or one of those hallways down there, and trying to get in line. And you got a 8-foot tables with all the gag bag stuff out there. You got a line of people walking this way, and you got the hallway here and classrooms along this side and offices and different things. So, you know, things are a little tight.
I'm 19, 20 years old. I'm in a hurry. I got to get to work in just a little while. I got an hour drive to get there, and I got to get a gag bag so I don't starve tonight. And I'm walking through there, and all of a sudden, I ran into somebody. They were coming out of a closet with mops and brooms and buckets. And I hit her and knocked the brooms and the buckets and the mops everywhere. Say, who was it?
Her.
I mean, I knocked her flat out. I mean, stuff was flying everywhere. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I felt like a jerk, you know, and I'm trying to help her pick things up. Well, I come by the next day. Guess who is standing in the same spot, but not quite as far in the hallway? There she was again. We laughed about it, said hello, got my gag bag, went to work. Guess who was there the next day? Same spot. So I talked to her for a moment, found out her home church is where my mom and dad had moved to in Ohio, and we're going to her home church. And we talked for a little bit. I thought, wow, that was pretty neat. And the Lord said, how come he didn't ask her out? Because I didn't think about it. Wasn't really looking for it. I said, okay, Lord, she's there again. Guess who was there the next day? Doggone it. We had our first date, October 10th, 1987. Pretty good, isn't it? I don't even have it written down. And tell you something, if we we got married as a result of us getting close, I didn't think I was going to marry this girl. That was the farthest thing from my mind. It was trying to keep the mops from hitting the ground. You see, you don't do a bunch of things and all of a sudden you're holy. You don't go through a bunch of rituals and do a bunch of amens and Hail Marys and count beads and pay money to the priest and confession and all these things and all of a sudden, shazam, I'm holy now. Uh-uh. But I'll promise you, you spend time in that book. You spend time on your knees with a holy God. And you talk to him and you do what he tells you to do through the word of God. Allow the spirit of God to work through you. You'll become holy. You won't feel like it. Because the closer to God you get, the more you see yourself as the sinner you really are. The people that say, look at me, I am holy. Can I tell you something? They're not. They're not. I must hurry. The Holy Spirit will guide you through the Bible and prompting you if you ask and you yield to him. Did you know that when Moses went to the mountain and he saw the presence of God, he wasn't seeking holiness? He was just seeking to be close to God. And he said, God, I'd love to see you. He said, I can't let you see me, Moses. If you look on me, I have to kill you. He said, but I long to see you. He said, I tell you what, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'll put my hand over you. And as I pass by, you can see my hindermost parts. And as he did, he got to see the back of God. The Bible says that when Moses came down, his face shone to the point where they had to put a veil over his face because it scared the people. Watch this. He didn't go to the mountain to get a shiny face. He went to the mountain to get close to God. The holiness was a byproduct of being close to God. Holiness is not found in burning candles and incense. It's not in fancy robes and vestments. It's not in music and rituals. You get it by getting close to God. I must finish. Number four. Holiness is gotten in private and not in public. Holiness is gotten in private, not in public. Now listen to me. I'd love to read these verses. We do not have time. I'm already a couple minutes over. Exodus 3:5, Exodus 28, verses 30, 36, and 39. Psalm 29, verse number 2. Psalm 96, verse number 9. Talks about you being alone with God in holiness. Because it comes by being alone with God, guess what? It's not going to come in the crowd.
Right.
Moses got it at the burning bush. Nobody else was around. He looked, saw the bush burning, saw that it was not consumed. He spoke to it, and God said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Nobody else was around. It wasn't in public. Jacob wrestled all night in his tent by himself, and the angel of the Lord had to touch his thigh, and he said, I'm not letting go till I get blessed by God. And God himself, wrestling with Jesus, Jacob and Jesus wrestling, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and he said, I'll bless you. Jacob's name was turned to Israel. Moses on the mountain alone with God. Mary was in her room one night, and an angel came and said, you're going to be the body through which the Savior is birthed. The Holy Spirit will conceive seed in you, and you will give birth to the Christ child. By the way, it wasn't a public announcement. Matter of fact, they were getting ready to put her away. Joseph, had the angel of God not come to him, probably would have put her away. But notice it was done in private. Church is not holy in and of itself. You're not going to have a public holy session. It's not some place where somebody gets up and performs holy things. Holiness has gotten one-on-one with God. One-on-one. It's not public worship. There's no such thing. Look on the church sign, it says church. It doesn't say public worship. Worship is telling God how good he is and how wonderful he is. It was like our Sunday school, except for Brother Mike's class. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? I could go on. You're telling God that his name is above all creation. How good he is. Church is not holy in and of itself unless you meet God here one at a time at the altar. There's not public holiness shows. It's not somebody getting up jibber jabbering and talking in some unknown language. Tongues were assigned to them that believe not. It was used for soul winning. If Mrs. Barnes got up here and we had a deaf person and she interpreted, she was using tongues, actually hands, to interpret. Some speak Spanish, and if somebody would interpret to the Spanish, it was an actual language. It wasn't a heavenly language. God speaks all of our languages. Everybody doing okay? Well, that's holiness. No, 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 no. That's getting the gospel out. Again, holiness is not sinlessness. But I believe that the closer you get to God, the more things drop off your life. Just as the closer into the Holy of Holies you get, the more things have to be done and the cleaner you must be. That's what holiness is. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not, we could take care of it today. If you've been saved and never baptized, baptism doesn't take anybody to heaven. I tell people this all the time. If I take my wedding ring off, I'm still married. People know I'm married because I wear it. It's all baptism is. It's a picture. We know people went to heaven without being baptized. Thief on the cross did. Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't get baptized. But I believe it's something that you ought to do. Hey, if you're saved and you've been baptized by immersion and you don't have a church home, you ought to join church. You ought to join this church, I believe. Old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, just preaching the book as is. We'd love to have you. Why don't you obey God? You'd like to be holy? Then you got to obey him. He wants you to be a member of the church. Whatever the need, how about you consider it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begin to play. But before we do, we'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I won't call you out just like I didn't call these out. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Somebody else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand, oh, my soul? Scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. You won't be alone. But in a moment, I'll point to the pianist and she'll begin to play. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, how about you come? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, how about you come today?